We're wrapping up the series today, wrapping up The Office, as we spent the last 3 weeks talking about God's plan for us at work. You know, how we should work, how we should respond to our boss, how we should interact with our coworkers. Because it's important, because as we talked about, we spend a third of our waking hours, a third of our waking life, we spend at work. And so we've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks. And today, as we wrap up the series, today we're going to talk about basically it's a tension that exists for each of us in the room today that work. It's a tension that exists between the one third of the time you spend at work and the two thirds of the time that you have to do other things. It's a tension that exists between you and your friends. It's a tension that exists between you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, that exists between your fiance. If you're married, it exists between you and your spouse. If you have kids, it exists between you and your kids. But there is this tension between the one-third of the time we have at work and the two-thirds of the time that we're... Some of you are laughing when I say one-third and two-thirds already. You're already like, no, more like half and half, or maybe a little more on this side. But we're going to talk about that tension today, because a lot of you know this. Some of you maybe don't. Wellspring is brand new. We started, I guess now, a little over 6 months ago. And you may not know this, but starting a church is a lot like starting a business. Okay, some of you have started your own businesses. You have relatives who started your own businesses. And you know starting your own business takes a lot of time. All right, starting a church is the same way. I believe God has big plans for Wellspring Church. I believe God wants to reach a ton of people in Myrtle Beach through Wellspring Church. And so right now, today, if I could honestly staff Wellspring like I'd like to staff it, I could probably think of 10 to 15 full-time positions that I would fill right now. And so you look around, you're like, really? Yes, because I believe God has big things for us. But right now, those 15 positions are done by two, now three, guys and some awesome volunteers. But that doesn't mean I lower my level of what I expect. So what that means is we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot going on. There's a ton of work that goes in to starting a church, starting a business, as you know. Now, put that aside, I'm also married to an amazing woman, love of my life. I have two children, two boys, 4 and 2, and I have a third on the way in August. Let me say that again. I have two children, 4 and 2, and I have a third on the way in August, okay? So let's just say there's a lot going on, all right? There's a lot going on. When I started this church, before we even started, I knew there was absolutely no way I was going to be able to do everything that I needed to do here and do everything that I needed to do at home. It was a very quick realization, and I'm sure many of you can relate. Can I get a amen or a something, right? You can relate. You can relate. There's not enough time in the day to get everything done. There's just not. There are things you're going to miss. You're going to miss dates. You're going to miss recitals. You're going to miss deadlines. Okay, there are things you are going to miss. We all live in this world. We all understand that tension. And hear me, if you hear nothing else today, quite honestly, if you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this, okay? You are not alone. I get it. We all get it. We all get this tension that exists, all right? And I'm going to name it today because no one will name it, and we all hate talking about it, and we all feel guilty about it. I'm going to name it. Here's what we do. Here's what I do, okay? When this tension happens, here's what we do. We cheat. We cheat. Somewhere along the way, we have to cheat. We have to either cheat the needs, the wants, the desires of our family, or we have to cheat the needs, the wants, the desires of our employer. Because there's literally not enough time today to get it all done. Think about it. I want you to think about this. For those of you who work outside the home, or even in the home, that's a whole other separate full-time job as opposed to being a parent. Think about it, though. If you're at work, when would you leave the office? When would you actually go home if you really stayed until everything was done? Every report, every phone call made, every brief read, all right? Every paper graded. When would you really leave if you waited till everything was done at work? Let's flip that. If you do have a parent, I mean, if you are a parent, if you have a parent, maybe your parent lives with you and you take care of them, I don't know. Or if you have, you know, a relationship that you really care about, when would you leave home if you waited until everything was done? I have a 4 and a 2-year-old. Here's one thing they've never, ever said to me as long as they lived. Hey, Dad, we've played enough. We're good. Why don't you go get some work done? Thanks for the time, but we're good now. Right? They've never once in life said that to me. It's impossible. It's physically impossible to meet every need, want, desire of every supervisor, boss, client, parent, kid, girlfriend, boyfriend, fiance. It's not going to happen. So here's the question. Here's what we're going to look at today. Here's what we're going to try to wrestle with. Where are you cheating? What area? Or better yet, who are you cheating? Now, I know for some of you today, this might be a little different because you're not married yet. You're not married, and so it's a little different. And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this today. I believe that a married couple has moral obligations to each other. Okay? In the sight of God, He has said, your primary relationship on this earth is your spouse. If you have children, the next is them. Okay? If you're dating today and all that kind of stuff, you don't have that kind of moral obligation to each other. You could be building towards that. Hopefully, if you're dating someone, you're dating them because you think you could be going that way. But you don't have a moral obligation to them today. But here's what I'll say. Your work doesn't give you an excuse to be a jerk. Okay? And here's another little piece of free advice. If you are single today, this doesn't apply to you. Here's something you get to do. Here's something I wish I had been able to do in my life, okay? Today, you get to learn a lesson the easy way. All right? You get to hear. You get to decide, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to learn it that way. Because some of us have learned it the hard way. And a lot of us like to wait and learn things the hard way. But I'm here to tell you, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot easier. It's a lot healthier to learn the easy way. So if this doesn't perfectly apply to you today, just kind of store it aside. Remember it. And go ahead and make decisions now so that when you do enter those relationships, you've already got your priorities in order. So anyway, that's a little side note for the single people in the room. I probably won't speak to you again today. okay. All right. So for those of us who are married or are in relationships, have obligations, okay? Unfortunately, all right, I'm not going to speak for everyone today. I'm going to speak for myself, but I'm going to speak for myself while acknowledging you're all with me. When this tension exists, the vast majority of us, I know I do, when we have to make the decision of who we're going to cheat, it's our families. We cheat our families. And here's what we do. Here's what we do. Most of us, while we're doing that, even if we acknowledge it or we don't acknowledge it, we make a deal with God. And there are some of you today say, I don't believe in God. Yeah, but it doesn't stop you from making deals with Him. Doesn't stop you from making deals with Him. We make this deal with God. God, you know I want to be at home with my wife or with my husband, with my kids. You know that's where my heart wants to be. And then, see, if you really love God and you're really super religious, you pray this prayer. You say, Father, here's my prayer. I pray that in my absence at home, you will cover my family. And you will make up for the fact that I'm not there. Please, God, that's what I'm asking you to do. And some of you today, yeah, you don't believe in God. So throw the God thing out. You still tell yourself, I'm doing this for my family. I'm working hard. One day, this won't be a problem. One day, I won't struggle with this. One day, I'll be able to be at everything they want me to be at. One day, I won't work 80 hours a week. One day, it'll all be different. One day. It'll all change. And before you think I'm coming down on you, look, I understand. Okay? I understand you're driven. I understand you're passionate about your job. I understand you thrive on success. I understand that right now in this economy, you can't afford to work less. Okay? I understand those things. If you have 2 extra hours in a day and you spend that time at work, you have something to show for it. You can show a sales call. You can show something. If you spend that 2 hours at home, you're just at home. You know, I mean, at work, you can count stuff. You can charge stuff. You get rewards. You get awards. You get money. You can buy new cars. You can get new things. At home, you're just home. If you come up to me right now and say, "How's the family?" I don't say, 2 kids, 1 on the way, production's up 50%. Right? I don't say that. I don't. See, the thing inside us that loves recognition, that loves success, that loves progress, that gets fed at work. At home, we're just home. Okay, they are never in life, let me tell you, they are never in life going to have an awards banquet where they give you an award because you made it to your kid's softball game. There's not going to happen. All right, that happens in movies occasionally. That will never happen in real life. All right. And see, we like the success. We like the feeling of progress. We like the feeling of getting things done. So, and we love our families, and we really do think, I'm doing this to make more money so they can have nicer things. So we bargain with God or with ourselves that one day it'll get better. Me included, I'm throwing myself in here. But what we do is we cheat our families. We do. And I know that's tough. That's tough to hear. But it is cheating. It is cheating. When you have something that is specifically designed for one place and you freely give it somewhere else, that's cheating. When you take what's designed for your family or for your friends or and you take that and you give it somewhere else, it's cheating. And when we cheat our families, here's what happens. Here's what happens. And I know none of you would say this. None of you even think this. None of you would ever even indicate this. But here's what I do know. Some of you grew up in homes just like this. You grew up in homes with workaholic parents that were constantly missing recitals, missing this, missing that. Never had dinner with you. You never knew when dad was going to be home. You never knew when mom was going to be home. All right, you've had that. And you had said, I'm never going to do that. And here you are now repeating the cycle. Okay? You're repeating it right back in. You just fell back into it. And unfortunately, here's what happens. And again, I'm trying to be so soft today because this is a tough one, okay? This isn't one that's easy for me to get up here and pound my chest about because I'm stepping on my toes just as much as I'm stepping on everybody else's. I'm just being honest. But here's what we communicate to our families, guys. Here's what we communicate to those people that God's put in our lives that we're supposed to be giving time to when we give it to somewhere else. And hear me. You would never think this. You would never want me to say it. You are dying right now. You are praying I don't say what you know I'm about to say. But here's what we communicate to our families when we cheat them for our work. We communicate those people at work are more important than you are. These 120 emails, they're more important than you. This dinner I have tonight because I might make a sale, it's more important than you are. It counts more than you. And hear me, I know you don't think that. I know you don't want it to be that way. But it is. Here's what we ask our families to do, okay? Here's what we ask our families to do. It would be like, I have a really good friend, his name is Jake. It would be like if Jake came up to me and said, "Hey, Trey, I have this really heavy rock. Will you hold it for me?" Dude, Jake's one of my best friends in the world. Absolutely. So I grab the rock, Jake's my best friend, one of my best friends. He asked me to hold the rock. I'm going to hold the rock for him. It's a heavy rock, but Jake needs me to hold it. And I love Jake, and I'll do anything he asks me to do. So here I am holding this rock. So I'm sitting there holding the rock, and Jake takes off, and I'm like, all right, man, holding the rock. I'm holding the rock for Jake because I like Jake. Jake's my buddy. He wants me to hold a rock. I'll hold a rock because I'm good at holding rocks. That's what I'm going to do. And an hour goes by. 2 hours go by. And I'm still holding that rock, but I'm kind of looking around. Hey! Anybody seen Jake? If you do, can you see if he's coming back? Rock's getting heavy. But I'm still holding the rock, man, because I love Jake. Jake's my buddy. And he asked me to hold this rock, so I'm going to keep holding it. Eventually, Jake comes back. Hey, man, you still got that rock? I do, man. I got it. I got it because I love you and you're my buddy, so I'm going to hold this rock. Jake says, I'll be back in 10 minutes. So I'm sitting there. I'm holding that rock. I'm still going to keep holding it. Jake doesn't come back in 10 minutes. He doesn't come back for 2 more hours. And eventually, I'm going to drop the rock. You know why? Because my mental willingness was overcome by my physical weakness. It doesn't matter how much I love Jake, what a good buddy he is to me. Eventually, I'm going to drop that rock because I'm not strong enough to hold that rock by myself. I'm not strong enough to do that. All the want to in the world isn't going to stop my physical limitations from eventually dropping that rock. And what I want to say today is our families, our spouse, our kids, they are trying so hard to hold that rock. They are putting on a smiling face and they're doing everything in their power to hold on to that rock because they love you so much. But eventually, that rock's going to drop. Because we're asking them to do something they physically can't do. We're asking them to do something they were not designed to do. And when that rock drops, everyone is shocked. No one understands why the rock dropped. We don't. We don't understand why this time when I said I'm going to be late for dinner, it bothered you. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't understand why this time that I'm going to miss the game, it bothered you. I've told you 1,000 times I'm going to miss that game. It's never bothered before. Why did it matter this time? And the people on our side, me, the workaholic, we get defensive. All right? Some of you are doing it right now. We get defensive. And we start justifying our actions. And we start listing the things that we've done for our families. Seriously, some of you are doing it right now. You're so mad at me, you don't know what to do. You're listing in your head. He doesn't know. He's not talking. He doesn't get what I've done. He doesn't know that by doing this, I've provided for us to do this. And we get to live here instead of here. And all that kind of stuff. And not only do you resent me a little bit, be honest, you kind of resent your families. Because you're making sacrifices here. And it registers to you. You understand the sacrifice. Why don't they get it? Why doesn't my family see the sacrifice I make? And so we struggle. Oh, man. And we get defensive, but we don't understand it. We don't understand why the rock drops. We don't understand why it's the 100th time we're going to be late. And we walk in with flowers for the 100th time because we're late. Here's the flowers. Sorry, I'm speaking to the men right now. You know what she wants to say to you? I've been holding this rock for 4 years. I don't want stinking flowers. I don't need a vacation. I need you to change your lifestyle. Now. Because this rock's slipping. I'm trying. I'm trying so hard, but this rock is about to fall. And when it does, I don't know that we'll be able to pick up all the pieces. See, that's the scary part. Is sometimes when that rock drops, sometimes when the rock drops, man, it's a Humpty Dumpty rock. All the king's horses and all the king's men can never put it back together again. And that, folks, is what God wants to prevent today. All right, that's what we want to talk about today is what are some fundamental changes we can make so those rocks won't drop. Because here's what I know. Here's what I know. Some of you in this room are days, weeks, months away from the rock dropping. And here's what you need to know. To the workaholics in the room, here's what you need to know. Your intentions do not matter. What you think your heart wants does not matter. One thing matters, and that's action. You know why? Because your actions, they really indicate what's in your heart. Show me anybody and say, what's most important in their life? I say, show me their day planner. And not the imaginary day planner. Not the one they think is real. Maybe more like a journal of what they did. Of the time they spent doing. And oh, by the way, it doesn't count as time with your family if you're on your cell phone the whole time, making deals. You know, if you close your last big deal during your daughter's recital, you were working. And she knew it. She knew. If you were constantly texting during your kid's last baseball game, he knew. And he dutifully picked up that rock and smiled and said, man, I love Dad and he loves me. And I know one day he's going to take this rock from me. Right now I'm going to do everything I can to hold it to him because he loves me and I love him. But the rock's getting a little heavier. Man, you guys had no idea it was going to be this depressing today, did you? I'm sorry. I promise there's hope, though, okay? I promise there's hope. I don't do this and then leave you, all right? I promise there's hope today. God's going to show us today. He's going to show all of us. Because there's actually in Scripture, there is a process he's laid out. For each of us, as we try to make these life-altering decisions to bring our life more in line with God's principles. Because here's the deal. If you're in church today, you may not get it all. You may still be exploring Jesus. You may be, and fantastic. You are welcome here. We love having you here. But here's what I'm going to believe to be true. If you chose to get up this morning and come here, I believe there's got to be some part of you that is interested in what God wants for your life. That is at least open to God's plan and God's design. And I'm here to tell you, when you follow God's design and God's plan for your life, it leads to the best life possible. There's just no denying that. So today we're going to unpack a story. It's actually from the Old Testament. We're going to look at a guy named Daniel. Some of you have heard of Daniel. Some of you have not. He's a guy in about 600 BC, the nation of Israel was taken captive by the Babylonian Empire. And Daniel was one of the guys taken captive. And what actually happened, I said you may have heard of him. He's the one who was thrown into a cave with lions, and he spent the night in there, and nothing bad happened. Do not try that at home, okay? Whatever. But we're going to look at Daniel. We're going to look at Daniel 1, okay? And if don't worry about your Bibles today. I'm going to read it to you. It's very simple what we're going to look at. But here's what's happening, all right? Daniel and a group of his friends were very smart. They were smart guys. They were bright. And as they were taken into captivity, what the Babylonians would typically do is when they'd capture a people, they'd select from among them some of the smartest, some of the brightest, and they'd actually bring them in and train them in their ways and put them in charge of the royal court because it was easier for those people to take orders from their people than the Babylonians. It was kind of smart. It was just kind of a way of extending their rule. And so Daniel was chosen. Daniel and a group of his friends were chosen, all right? They were going to be given the best food. They were going to be given awesome housing. They were going to be taught all the ways of the Babylonian Empire. They were going to learn the language. They were going to learn the technology. They were going to learn all of it, okay? It was the equivalent of, you know, I don't even know what's the biggest promotion you get in Myrtle Beach? Someone told you you could be CEO of Burrs and Chapin tomorrow. Maybe you don't want that job, but... But there it was. They had the career opportunity of a lifetime. They went from slaves to the executive suite in about 5 seconds. And the second it happened, they were asked to cheat. Well, they weren't even asked to cheat their families. They were asked to cheat God. Because, see, the nation of Israel, we don't have it, but the nation of Israel did. They had dietary laws. There were certain foods they could eat, certain foods they couldn't eat. And Daniel decided this was a big deal to him. Seems like a minor issue to us. What are you going to eat? Okay? But Daniel's heart, there's that heart word again. Daniel's heart wanted to please God. These people are asking him to do something that would displease God. Daniel wanted to please God. So Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says this. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. Daniel was determined not to defile himself. He was determined not to go against what he knew God wanted him to do. Now, this was before Daniel had any idea of the repercussions of such a decision. He had no idea how it was going to work out. He had no idea what was going to happen. All he knew was his heart said, this isn't right. There's a better way. So he made that decision. So here's what he did next. He went and he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. So Daniel made a decision in his heart. This is going to change. And so then he went and talked to his boss. And when he talked to his boss, he even had a plan as he was talking to his boss. All right, we're going to skip ahead to verse 12. This was his plan. He said, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. So see, he goes to his boss. He'd already decided in his heart, I'm not going to do this. So he goes to his person who's in charge of him and says, hey, look, I don't want to do this. I'm going to ask your permission to try this out for a while, see if it works. If it doesn't work, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I think it'll work fine. Can we try it? And look what happened. Verse 15. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the other food and wine provided for the others. It worked. Go figure. Daniel decides to please God, sets a plan in place, pleases God, and it works. Now, it's not that simple because we skipped a verse I want to go back to. We skipped a verse. It's actually verse 9. Probably the most important verse in this passage. And my hope today is the most important verse in this message. The verse that can transform your life today. Verse 9. The first two words are the most important. Go ahead and put them up. Verse 9. Everybody saying with me, now God. One more time. Now God. See, that's the part we never think about. We never take into account when we're trying to please God. We never take into account the now God moment. Let's read it. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. This was before Daniel did a thing. This was before Daniel talked to him. This was before he did. All Daniel had done at this point was decided in his heart that he was going to please God. What Daniel had no idea of was that God was up to something the whole time. A few weeks ago I told you, all our authority that we have, God puts in place, and they are God's servants for our good. I know you want to think your boss is Satan's servant, but no, it's God's servant for your good. And right here, God was up to something. Now listen to me. If God had come to Daniel at the beginning and said, hey, Daniel, look, here's the deal. They're going to ask you to eat some food, okay? You're going to say no. And because you say no, I've already got it worked out where you're going to become the third most powerful person in the kingdom. We good? Awesome. Daniel would have said, absolutely, we all would have, right? But that's not how God works. Because sometimes He just wants us to obey. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe. This is what He wants for me, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust Him to provide. Daniel had no idea that God was at work. He had no idea about the now God moment. And here's what I'm trying to say. Neither do you. You have no idea what God could be up to right now. And He's just waiting on you to be obedient. All right? Here's why this passage matters to us. Here's the application for all of us today. All right? Number one, those of us who are the workaholics that have these things, here's what we need to do. We need to make a decision to change regardless of the consequences. Right now. We need to decide no more. I'm cheating my family no more. I'm putting my family first. I'm not worried about the consequences. I'm not thinking about that yet. I'm making the decision in my heart that my lifestyle will change. And then once you've made that decision, then you develop a plan. Develop a plan. Sit down. Sit down with whoever it is you're cheating and talk to them about it. Because you've talked about it before. It's just before when you talk about it, usually ends up in a fight and you blame them and they blame you and you get mad at each other. You don't talk about it for a few days and then you sleep under the rug. What I'm saying now is have an honest conversation. And hear me today. If you're the other spouse who's been holding the rock and they come to you this week and say, I want to change, don't hit them over the head with the rock. All right? Don't say, it's about time. Say, thank you. And you guys talk about it. Talk about what's reasonable. Okay? Talk about what can be expected. Maybe you can't. You still can't be at every game. But can you be at half of them? Maybe you can't be home for dinner every night. But can you be home four nights a week? Maybe you can't do this or that. I don't know. But you have to sit down and talk to each other and develop realistic expectations with each other about what you can and can't do. And then, workaholics, develop a plan and talk to your boss. And this is where you all want to say, there you go, being a preacher. There you go. You don't know my boss. I don't. Here's what I know, though. You don't have as much to lose as Daniel did. Daniel could have been killed on the spot for even thinking of questioning what they had. But he did it because it was important to him in his heart, to please God. And if it's important to you in your heart to please God, to see your family blessed, to see your family brought up the way you want God wants them to be brought up, you need to develop a plan. You need to talk to your boss. And then you need to trust God for the now God moment. You need to believe in the now God moment. Make that decision, develop a plan, and then trust God to see what happens. See what doors He opens. Your boss might say, you know what? It's interesting you bring this up because I've been thinking about blah, blah, blah. And your head will just explode. And God will say, yeah, I really am real. I promise. Others of you, I'm not going to say it's all going to be easy. Some of you are going to have to quit your job. You're going to have to quit in this economy. I think God will provide another one. I wouldn't walk in and quit tomorrow. I'd think about it a little bit. I'm not one of those people that think God is opposed to planning. All right? Please don't leave here and quit your job and say, I told you to. Please. I don't need that. I don't need that. But develop the plan and then trust God. Trust God that He is going to provide and He is going to look out for your step of faith and obedience. All right? He does. It's His favorite thing to do. He loves nothing more than to look at us and say, oh, I truly believe He nudges other angels or Jesus. Look, 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 look. They did it. They did it that time. Look at that. They trusted me. Oh, man. Watch what I'm going to do now. Watch this. And see, when we do this, here's what we get to pray. Here's the prayer. You get to start praying. You get to start saying, God, I'm going home. Please cover for me at work. Please make up for my absence there. Please cover the things that can't get done. Because I'm going home where I need to be. And here's why it's crucial. You know this. But here's why it's crucial. Whatever you do in the marketplace, I don't care how specialized you are, how good you think you are, whatever you do in the marketplace, you can be replaced. Your kids get one mom. They get one dad. You get one shot at your first marriage. And some of you have already passed that. You're on your second marriage, maybe your third. That's fine. Just decide now that this one is going to work. Don't make the same mistakes that you've been making. It's not worth it. I've never heard of one person at the end of their life, not one person who said, if I only worked more, if I'd only spent more time at work. So here's the deal. As we end the series, I'm asking you right now, who are you cheating? Who are you cheating with your work? And if it's your family, like me, it probably is, if you're like me, decide today that it's going to stop. Make a plan and believe God's going to do something amazing. Because here's what I'll tell you. It was me. It was me. It's not anymore by God's grace, but it was me. I've never said this out loud except to my wife. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. It was summer of 2007 when my wife was pregnant with my second son, who was born in November of that year. And we're pregnant with our third now. She was talking the other day and she goes, aren't you glad I haven't been on bed rest this time like I was last time with John? Guys, I had no idea what she was talking about. None. And you can ask people that know me. I have a ridiculous memory. It bothers people, the stuff I can remember. I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought she was joking, and I said, yeah, ha, ha, ha. She goes, no, really. I was on bed rest for like 2 months. You don't remember that? Diane used to come over every day and hang out with me. You don't remember that? No, I don't. And you know what? I'll never get that back. I can't believe she didn't drop the rock then. It's by the grace of God she didn't. But I never want to put her in that position again. And I know you don't either. I know you love your families. You love your friends. You love the people you're around. You feel like you have to do this to provide to them. And I'm telling you right now, you don't. God is standing right here saying, make that decision. Decide to change. And just wait for the now God moment, because I'm so ready to bless you. And here's what I'll do right now. I want to invite everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Here's what I want to do. I don't do this often, but I just feel like there's some people in the room right now. In fact, I know there are people in the room right now who struggle with this issue. Okay? And I want to give you an opportunity to respond right now. All right? Nobody's looking around. It's just me and you. Really, I just want to know who to pray for. So if you're in the room right now and you would say, you're talking to me, and I'm scared out of my mind because I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know how it's going to fix it. But I'm deciding right now to change. Would you just shoot your hand up in the air as high as you can get it? Just shoot your hand up right now so I can pray for you and pray over you. Just keep shooting them up. Just keep shooting them up. God wants to free you from this. Absolutely. You can put them down. I want you to know today, God's going to honor that commitment. Go home this week, develop a plan, and then trust God. Trust Him to do what He does. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your patience with us, for your love for us. Father, I thank you that you do cover in our absence. And Father, I thank you that you're the God of second and third and fourth and fifth and tenth chances. Father, I thank you that you're the God of it never being too bad. You can always fix it. Father, we leave here today determined to honor you and to choose to never again cheat our families. In your name we pray. Amen.